Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Oh, we're excited today. Bottomed, how are you, my friend?
I'm really excited because that was a very interesting round. Women, you've had three games that are decided by a basket and three games that are just decided by a total of 85 points. Yep. So there was real extremes there. And the men, we saw some great results.
Didn't we? Mate, I cannot get enough basketball at the moment. I don't know about you. I just don't know. I'm just like, give me more games. I just love it. But let's start. We will start with WNBL as we always do. Sydney Flames, they did get a double. I think we both predicted that from memory last week. But geez, they didn't do it easy. 2-point wins in both games. Talk to me about Adelaide and the Capitals.
Well, look, honestly, Adelaide are so close, but you know what happens, Brad, and you know this as a coach and as a player, that when it comes down to crunch time, habits kick in, right? And if you've got winning habits, which Sydney does, or you've got losing habits, which right now Adelaide does and right now Canberra does, then that's what will kick in. And unfortunately for them, in Canberra basically had Sydney on toast at one stage during that game.
They did.
And then just didn't know how to hold on to it, just couldn't hold on to it. And against Adelaide, I think Adelaide might have been a little bit flattered by that. I thought Sydney had their measure. Lauren Nicholson was having a great weekend, and so was Tess Madgen. They were more impressive than that result.
Well, you know how much I hate giving you credit, but you did say that you wanted to talk about the Flames, where once they get their crew in and going, you know they're going to be better. You mentioned that, right? You said once they get Tess back, that they will be good. And look, I don't think they were two fabulous wins. They were just two wins they needed. Yeah,
that's right. You've just got to put them into the W column and say, let's move on. That's good enough. And look, what we did say, I expected Melbourne to have a response against Perth after losing by 17 at home. But to go over there and flog them by 31, that's a 48-point turnaround in 4 days.
Mate, it's amazing. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. What did I say? And I'm not going to say it's a Brad thing. I just know that club. Yeah. That club, they have pride. They're a little bit like Melbourne United for the men as well. You know, they go to Brisbane and destroy them. That is the Melbourne Boomers just saying, last week, I don't know what happened. We weren't right. You can just know Chris Lucas and Christy Harrow would have been into them. They would have watched video and every little issue that they would have done, they fixed up 93-62. What a fantastic effort by them.
Their intensity level.
Another level.
You know, from another level. You go, oh, wow, this is a different version. They're going to win this game. But I still, 31-point margin in Perth, that's pretty extraordinary. I'm very impressed with that. Southside beating Bendigo, I was disappointed with Bendigo. I thought they were sort of turning the corner. Unfortunately, they did, but they're in a maze, apparently.
Well, I just thought they'd give more. Do you know what I mean? Like Southside are good, don't get me wrong. But I just thought, you know, Kelsey Griffin played and she had, 16-7 or whatever it was. But I just expected more from Bendigo because I know they've been up and down, but I just thought, you're on the road, but you've got Kelsey. I just didn't expect that, buddy.
Well, they got him again this week. But it's in Bendigo, so hopefully that'll be a much closer result. But I don't expect it to be any different.
Yeah, that's also a good test for Southside because, look at Perth now. They won, right, down in Melbourne, and then Melbourne Boomers came with a cricket bat and Perth sat back and said, I'm sorry, I can't deal with this, right? So now I'm interested to know, a Southside with, you know, a good team that they've got and Beck Cole and Push and Laura Jackson and, you know, Mercedes and all of these girls, I'll be interested to see because, you know, like as a coach, I remember Gorgian. I'm not sure if you know, but I was an assistant for Gorgian many years ago.
Please tell the listeners.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were aware of that, but I remember.
I was.
I remember.
I want to say, though, in Mercedes, they've got the BMW of big girls. Let's move on. Townsville. See, now Townsville
beat Canberra
84-55. That, to me, I didn't see that game, I've got to confess, but that to me is Canberra playing so well, so consistently, week in, week out, not getting a result. At some point, you just exhale, like, what do we got to do? Or what can we do? And you just lose a little bit of faith, and in comes Townsville, belt you by near enough to 30. So
five girls in double figures, one had eight, one had seven.
Wait a minute. You can't talk about girls' figures on this program.
Oh. body.
We're going to get so many complaints.
I'm not even, I can't say a word in front of you. This is, sorry, people. This is just body. Anyway, five girls had five double points. and they were really good. And I just don't understand how clubs are not ready. And I'm going to say this across the NBL and the WNBL, teams are coming with cricket bats, body. I say this, what I'm finding now and what I'm watching is these teams that are up with energy. And if a team does not come with that and match it at a minimum, you're not in the contest.
No.
And that's what I saw at Capitals at home. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. Well, let's have a look at this week. Well, hang on. Who have you got as your player of the round?
Oh, look, my player of the round, I can't go across Lauren Nicholson. I thought she was great. She's been good all year, to be honest with you. Good. I do have to say, I can't believe she's not in the Opal squad.
No, I can't, and I'm going to disagree with you 100%.
Okay. I think you're wrong, but that's fine. Please
no, tell me you're why. Wrong, and that's why she's not in the squad, because players, there are certain players for certain levels. You know, there are some that are great NBL 1 players. You right. move them up to NBL or WNBL, they can't. They're in the end of the bench, can't do it.
Okay.
Lauren Nicholson is one of our marquee WNBL players.
Yep.
But she's been in the Opals. She's been to Asia Cups. She's had court time. She's had 30 minutes. She's been a starter and hasn't performed at that next level. Now, if I was making
what are you
a
basing
team
that
right
on,
now,
though? What tournament?
Asia Cup.
Right.
You know, so and there's been other international games that she's played.
But how
and
do she you just know, has,
she hasn't
how do
got
you know
it done.
If a girl like learnt from that, come back, looks great in the NBL, do you not give her another shot?
She's had plenty, mate. She's not 16. Okay. She's had her opportunities. Yeah, okay.
All right.
You know, and now you've got to look at the next,
we all
next
know,
group that are coming.
We know you're wrong, but I'm just curious.
No, you don't know I'm wrong because the facts bear me out. You're just a Sydney sider and you can't help yourself at times.
Does she play for the Flames? I wasn't sure. Sorry, I didn't realise. Yeah.
See, I'm not here bitching for Keely Froling or for some of the others that maybe could have been there. It's just they've picked a pretty good group.
There is the argument there is, okay, who does she replace? But I just, look, you asked me who my player of the round was, and I went Lauren. I got shut
and
down.
I agree with you. No. See, at WNBL, if I was starting a team, she'd be one of the first players I'd select.
Yeah,
but if I'm
call.
Picking the Opals, not quite the same situation. That's
all. Right, fair
it's
enough.
A big step.
Right.
Some can do it.
Talk
some
to me. Who's your player of the round?
I like Darren McDonald coming up with a 35-point game as Perth come from 20 down to beat Adelaide in overtime. So I think that was a pretty impressive performance. I'm quite dazzled with her.
I mean, like going into overtime, doing what, you know, like what she did, I thought it was great. Annalie Maley, 22 and 15, can I just add in that game? But still, Ari McDonald, well done.
Yep. Okay.
No argument there. I went with Lauren, but toss of the coin.
Yeah, well, she played two games, Ari, and they did a much better job, Melbourne, on her than they did the week before when
Let me go through our tips, because I know people listen to this remarkably to know what to tip against when Body tips them. So let's go Perth at home versus Sydney.
WNBL record's good. My NBL record's sus.
That's because you picked 12 teams in six games. But can I?
You
can
did
I
that say, joke last week.
And I'll still do it. It's not a joke. It's
all right. It's a recurrer for you.
Are Perth going to bounce back? Perth, Sydney at home.
All right. First game of the season.
Now, can I just say, we're recording this on Tuesday, which is December the 12th. Happy birthday to my 18-year-old daughter. Just in case you were wondering, I had her when I was 15, nice and young.
She's 18 or she's 42?
No, I had her when I was 42. No, joking. So who you got, Perth or Sydney?
Look, remember, first game of the season, Sydney went into Perth and Perth beat them 85-71. It was it was sort of like you can't really have an upset in round one because you don't know what the teams are like, but it was a surprising result. So given that both of them played Adelaide last weekend, both of them beat Adelaide by a couple of points, this should be an absolute cracker. I'm just going to lean towards Sydney because I think it's starting to fall into place.
Yep, I agree with you. Southside versus Townsville at home, I'm going to say it first. I think Townsville get that game.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'll go Southside just for the sake
what
of the difference. Because,
what
no,
a
because
shock.
It is a shock because you love Southside. That's the shock that you haven't gone for them.
Don't forget I'm a Melbourne Boomers boy now, so don't forget that.
Well, this next one should be easy then.
Let me think. Capitals versus Boomers.
Well, you know, well, may you laugh, but Melbourne only beat them by overtime in Melbourne. You know, so Oddie, if they can score, put it together.
Burma's on, moving on. Okay, the only thing different is that the Australian cricket team's playing in Perth. Bendigo versus Adelaide at home. I'm going to go for Bendigo just purely that I think they'll bounce back after a poor game.
Yeah, I don't think Kelsey Griffin will let them lose.
Yeah, I'm with you. So you're going with that?
Yep, yep.
Now, this one I'm looking forward to, Sydney Flames versus Townsville. This will be a ripper.
Yes, it should. It should really be good. I'm liking Townsville for that. I can't see Townsville losing twice. So if I'm picking Southside to beat them, I have to pick them to beat Sydney.
I'm going to go Townsville to win both on the weekend. Okay. As much as I like the Flames, I just think Townsville are playing brilliantly, extremely well coached and just loving what they're doing.
You're a little arsonist. You prefer the Fire to the Flames.
God, I'm glad you said arsonist. I just heard you are a little art. That's all I heard at the moment. Whoa, where's he heading with this? Melbourne Boomers versus Adelaide Boomers at home?
Yes, I think so.
Bendigo Spirit versus Southside. Southside on the road for me.
Yeah, but a much better game than this 76-51 of last round. I'd be shocked if it was that wide a margin again. Let's move to the NBL, my man. What do we start off with? Sydney Cairns.
Sydney Cairns.
God, what a game that was.
What a game. I don't have to give you 24 seconds here to say what you like because there was no shot clock, so talk to me.
Well, you know what? At halftime, you know what they were saying?
You've been planning that for a week. I know you had. Look,
it was that old joke.
You got to give the Kings credit. They should have won by more. I don't think they're playing great, and we'll go into that more with the Phoenix game. But with Cairns, I thought they blew it. They could have won it, right? And I know they shot it after the buzzer.
That's what I'm saying. Why do you got to give Sydney credit? Cairns shot 12 of 25 from the free throw line. That's like you're shooting yourself in the foot. That's 13 points you've left at the
foul. You're right. I probably should elaborate. What I mean is just the fact that they got away with a win. You know, okay. But you're right in what you're saying. They didn't win. Cairns lost.
If they've got, you know, if they've got Vaughan Mabry there, that last shot that Jonah Antonio threw, you know, he would have said, hey, stop, hold the fort.
Every time I see him blow a whistle, can I just say, and I'm sure our viewers and listeners are thinking the same, right? Anytime he blows the whistle in a game, I think of you. Sitting there yelling to his wife, he's done it again.
Yeah. Here he goes, straight toward the coach's challenge. Oh, you don't have one? No, never mind. Play on. Yeah, so Cairns cost themselves that game. That's all I'm going to say.
Let me just say, Sydney Kings came out in this zone, which I'm not a fan of. Didn't really like it. Shot 8 of 25 from the three-point line. Shot 32% from there. I thought Jalen Adams, Galloway were great. They shot, 56 shots for the game. 56, body. Now, they've been averaging 80.
Mm.
Right? So that. Where is 24 shots coming? Now, they've 20 turnovers, there's half of them, right? No question there. But that was a dismal game for the Sydney Kings. And the writing was on the wall. I remember thinking, whoa, what's going on here? Something's not right here. Didn't like what I was viewing. And I'm going to go straight to the game now. I know we're pushing to Sunday here, but Southeast Melbourne didn't like that we, and I'm going to say we because the Sydney Kings, you always give me crap about it, but that's fine.
You're a former captain there. So.
Absolutely, and I will say it. We start in a zone. Absolute no, we never do that. I don't like that.
It's a passive way. I can take you back almost 30 years to well, it is. It will be by the time this season's over. 1994, Brett Brown has got a very big Melbourne Giants team. He's North got Melbourne, Darryl McDonald.
D-Mac at the point, different.
Yeah, he's got Mark Leader. He's got Paul Rees, Paul Mayle. He's got a really big group of guys. Yep. John Stelz. It's a big group. So he decides they're going to play zone all year. But what he did was he spent the preseason working on that zone.
Yes.
They won the championship playing the zone because they had mastered it.
Can I also add to you, not only the zone, they did the 1-2-2 press.
Yeah.
Right, that half-court press, and they were phenomenal at it with a guy that was like go-go gadget arms in DMAC, right? And I know from Gorge, DMAC, one of his favourite players, right? So I didn't love what I saw in Cairns, but it was a good enough win, right? Forget the shot clock. I don't care about
it. You know, just quickly, before you get off Cairns, if they had counted that last – I was really praying that they'd count that last basket by Antonio so that we could go into – so we could go into overtime because we hadn't watched the game long enough. We needed more, Cairns.
Mate, it was midnight. I wanted to go to bed. Yeah. Wanted to go to bed. But let's go to Sunday because we're going to talk about Kings here as we're going. Yeah, yeah. Firstly, huge kudos to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix coming in there scoring 104 points. Just we're going to capitulate this. Cummings, gone, sacked. Mike Kelly did not hold back, and I was commentating that game, so we were talking before, asked him a question. He did not hold back. Cummings just did not do what he was meant to do. Nice guy, great player, didn't buy in, see you later, right? So he was very strong about that. No, obviously, Moller, right, who's out for the season. And then they had Ruben Tarangi. Can I shout out to Ruben Tarangi? Congratulations on a beautiful baby. That's fantastic. Yep. And you love that. Three players down, they had no right to be in that game.
And also Daniel Johnson, who they'd had in the lineup, he's now gone. Gats back, hasn't played for the whole time that Daniel Johnson was. He's been out injured.
Good call.
So you've got – this is why I have a thing at my website –
I know you have a thing, and I've been holding you to go and get that checked.
I've got some tablets for it. The rash is not so bad. But anyway, what I was trying to say is that in my team of the week, I have a team of the week each week, and I also have a team of the week as piss. And I thought Sydney was weak as piss because they were totally –
I love them. You know, I will always go on the back for them. I was disappointed with the way they played. And
if you can't beat Southeast Melbourne, and that's in that situation, in your own building with 13,000 people there as well, not that they can, you know, affect the outcome, but if you can't get up for that, something wrong with you.
Their atmosphere was terrible. I don't know if you watched the game, but I interviewed Fleur McIntyre at halftime, and I said to her, mate, she just let loose. Our energy is crap. This is terrible. Like, how does that happen when you watch, and we'll get to that Illawarra game on a Friday night. When you're watching Illawarra, it comes out with a cricket bat against Perth. Energy wins you games, right? Energy wins you games. At the minimum, you need energy to win a game. How does the Kings come out with that? I think it's disappointing. Now, we start in the zone. Yeah, we started in a zone, which I thought, whoa, that didn't like
passive.
That. And then you've got Mitch Creek scoring 33. Week ago, you had Bryce Cotton scoring 41. The week before that, you've got Chris Goulding scoring, I don't know, 35 or whatever it was. Mm. And I'm starting to say, do we have that lockdown defender now that can just say, right, shut him down, like, you know, Simon did last year?
Yeah.
You know, Justin Simon?
I don't know, Brad, because I don't really follow the rotations all that well. Right. Some of the rotations.
Well,
Like Denzel Valentine was going quite well at one stage in the game, and then he got set down.
But it's not offense, body. Our offense is fine. We shot 76
points.
94 is fine. Right. Anyway, enough of the Kings. Let's move on. All right. Yeah. So let's go to Friday night now. So we talk about Illawarra Perth. I was there. Man, what a quarter. 38-18 first quarter. How good was that team?
Yes, and it wasn't, you know, it was, you got it from Sam Froling, but you should expect it from him. You got it from Justin Robinson. You got it a bit from Tyler Harvey.
Gary Clark.
The fact that Will Hickey and these other guys have come in, you know, AJ Johnson's come in, Hayung Lee's come in. These other guys have all contributed, and they're up. This team is really up for this game.
I've been calling Illawarra for a number of years, as you know. Yep. That bench didn't sit the hell down. It was so good. You know what I mean? They're up. They're jumping in.
They can feel it.
Oh, it was just the atmosphere. That is the best atmosphere I can say for a Hawks game. I don't want to say when, but for as long as I can remember, right? It was just brilliant.
Brad, the crowd was some 2,900, like just a little under 3,000.
Yeah.
But yet it looked, on the TV, it looked like it was pretty close to a full house. And they were loud.
They were loud.
Because the baseline sites, there was a lot of people in those. Those are usually the empty seats. So I was very impressed. And then to Todd Blanchfield, who gets a chance against Perth, bang, comes on and goes bang and hits.
Can I just tell you, I'm going to tell you a little story. When I do the commentary down there, we Matty Russell and I take a sideline each. So like first half, I'll take Wollongong. Second half, I'll take the opposition or vice versa.
Right.
So in this game, first half, I did Illawarra. So I'm down the other end and Toddy Blanchfield's on the bike, right? And I'm giving the guys five because I get along with them well. And I was like, Toddy, tell me you don't want to give this team something. I said, the threes are coming, baby. And he said, you know it. Boom. First caught catch, he knocks the three down. It was awesome. So
I think he's preparing for I think he's preparing for the tour down under, actually, because he's not getting a lot of time.
Let me just say, Gary Clark, Froling, great. They shot 80 shots, shot at 50%, 40% from the three-point line, 83% from the free throw line. Well done. Great.
The thing I like, Brad, about that win and also South East Melbourne's win is that once they put a big buffer between them and the opponent, when the opponent, both being quality teams, Perth and Sydney quality teams, when they made their runs, they kind of weathered them and then pulled away again. Have another run, weather it, pull away again. And that's the makings of good teams. So maybe South East Melbourne have turned the corner. They've got their a new import that they've just signed overnight.
Yes, and they have. As we are going to this, I'm going to hope I say this right. Abdel Nadar, 30-year-old, played for the Phoenix Suns in 2022, features in some NBA playoffs in 21, 196-centimetre small forward. He was selected as the 58th overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft. Pretty good, buddy.
Yeah, so he's now with the South East Melbourne Phoenix Suns.
Yes. Right.
So he should fit in. He should fit in perfectly. But I mean, now that might be just, you know, we've had our doubts about South East Melbourne. We've thought of them as a charter member of the fraud squad.
I still do.
But I'm hoping that was the one where you turn the corner.
The key for me is, number one, if this guy can be who he is, what the key is, Alan Williams has got to stay out of foul trouble. He had 4 fouls, and they had to carry him on Sunday again.
He's got bad habits.
Oh, buddy, you were on fire today.
But you know what? I think the zone protected him. Sydney's zone.
But you've got to be careful of that as well. But yeah. Anyway, look, let's move on. New Zealand, pretty dismal against Tasmania. Was it New Zealand bad or was it just Tasmania so good, buddy?
It was, in my view, Tasmania were absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
New Zealand, I'm a little bit jaded with Finn Delaney. I thought he was rubbish.
It was a 23-8 second quarter that was the game.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will say this, anybody who thinks the New Zealand Breakers get screwed by the referees, you're right. They do. The calls that go against them are compared to what go against whoever their opponent is, doesn't matter who it is, because every opponent they have is an Australian-based team, they get screwed. I'm not a New Zealand Breakers fan or by any stretch of the imagination. I sit there in games like this, I'm looking forward to two quality teams having a go, and I see Tasmania playing outstanding basketball and New Zealand making these little runs, but every now and then they just get the rug pulled out of them out from under them with some kind of crazy call that you don't get on anybody else.
All right.
But we're not allowed to criticise the refs.
Talk to me. Adelaide versus Cairns. Adelaide, week of hell. You talk of South East Melbourne came out, bang. Adelaide didn't, gave up 116 points at home against Cairns.
Now we've all seen the Mitch McCarron tirade at the team.
Yeah.
What he said was
six players in double figures for Cairns, defense non-existent.
That's my point. To me. He rounded up by saying, get stops, win games. 116 points is not getting stops. Bobby Klintman destroyed him in the first quarter. But to their credit, and to Scotty Ninnis's credit as the interim coach, they led 2 minutes into the last quarter. They were leading that ball game. Yeah. So bear in mind, he's had, two practices to try and change a culture?
I, I am a massive fan of Scott Ninnis, right? I know him personally, and I know him as a coach. I actually coached against him in nationals, and he's a very educated basketballer. You know, like, it's a very difficult situation that he's taking over. So I don't question him at all. But to give up 116 points, I just don't know where this team gets, where they go from here, Bonnie. It's just too much.
This is exactly what I said before. It's what I said before. When the pressure's on, you revert to habits.
Yes.
If you got bad habits, that's what's going to happen. Now, they're leading by 2 points, 2 minutes into the fourth quarter, and now Dejan Vasiljevic decides he's going to go one-on-one. Trey Phil's going to go one-on-one, and they go right away from all the things that they've been doing, because they've been going into Isaac Humphries. They finally realize they got a coach, no offense to CJ Bruton, but they got a coach now who clearly made Humphries the focus. He's got 22 points, I think, on 9 of 11 shooting. You know, he's
Body, I don't really care, like, what's going on in the locker room, because I don't know. But to turn around and then say, right, we're not playing Jason Kadee, we're not playing Sunday Dick, we're playing, you know, Mitch McCarron, this, there's something going on there. Like, I understand you want to play players minutes. Like, you know, let's, you know, he can come in and he has the right to say Nick Marshall should play more. And I agree with that. I love Nick Marshall. I think he's a great player. But to go with those three players from literally play, well, two of them didn't get on the court. Yeah. So is that saying they're the two to blame for every loss that they've had?
It's just, look, Sunday Ditch is probably one of the best perimeter defenders. So when you're getting blown off the floor by a team making threes, you sort of go, well, if that's going to be our policy, we don't play Sunday Ditch or we don't play Jason. Well, look, answer me this. Jason Kadee's a free agent. They bring him in for 3 years. They sign him to a three-year deal at the same time as Isaac White, who's a South Australian, Sam McDaniel, who's a South Australian, go and sign with Brisbane. Now, with all due respect to Jason, because I love him, he's a great bloke, and he's been a terrific player, but I can't understand the club doing that when they've got two South Aussies that they've let go. They bring in Jason, and then a third of the way through the season or half of the way through the season, they decide, oh, we're not going to play him anymore. Well,
Let me just give you some numbers. So at 116 points, they shot 51% from the field, 15 of 28 from the three-point line, body. They hit 15 threes at 53%, like you're just saying, right?
Yeah.
Then they get to the free throw line 25 times, and they out-rebound 45 to 35, the team. They had 27 assists to 14 from Adelaide, so minus 13 there for Adelaide. And then you go to Adelaide, they shot 77 shots compared to the 78, but they only made 37, 5 of 22 from the three-point line. It just, every bit of it just says, well, this is not good.
Tell me, Vasiljevic, you got 30 points. How many shots did he take?
Yeah, you're right. How many shots did he take? 26.
You know, so you're sort of going, okay, they just reverted. They were, I thought Scotty done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But the difference between them and Illawarra, when Illawarra changed its coach, I had spoken to you on this program a few times about I thought their roster was good enough.
Yeah.
Their roster is good enough. Yep. So now when they changed the coach and he's brought in, you know, okay, these guys were ready to play. They were ready to go. Give us a chance and give us a system, give us a direction. They got it. They're flying. Yep. Adelaide, you've got guys that, oh, we've got to sit this one down. We're not going to play this one. You know, and you've got all this kind of stuff going on with Mitch McCarron saying basically, you know, we don't want people being snitches. What's that mean?
Yeah.
We don't want people throwing people under the bus. What's that mean? You know, like what's been going on, you know, outside the court? So they weren't ready.
It's going to be a long season, I think, for them. Righto, let's go to Sunday. We've spoken about the Kings game, but let's talk about Melbourne United. Look, I expected them. You never want to play Melbourne United, a team like that, greatly coached by Dean Vickerman, as you know, that's come off a loss, right? So they were in a hiding for nothing, Brisbane on the road. A 36-16 second quarter to a 26-9 fourth quarter, and in a 35-point loss,
Yeah. We see, I didn't quite expect it to go this way.
No, I didn't either.
I expected Melbourne to win, but I thought Brisbane, here's Brisbane with Justin Schuller, who's been Dean Vickerman's assistant coach for a fair while. His assistant coach is Darryl McDonald, who's been Dean Vickerman's assistant coach for a fair while. So I'm figuring these guys know what United are going to run. They know how Dean thinks and reacts. So they're going to have the counters. And that first quarter, they didn't look too bad. Sam McDaniel's gone for eight points, I think. He's looking good, throwing down a wicked dunk. He's running around, you know, busting his butt. They're not looking too bad at quarter time. Second quarter, Chris Goulding, unconscious.
Chris Goulding, 21 points from 10 shots, 7 of 9 from the three-point line.
Yeah.
Now, Melbourne shot 69 shots. Brisbane shot 75 shots.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that before where the opposition shoots 6 more shots but loses by 35. Like, wow, what a game. What a game.
Mate, they're missing a lot more. They're creating offensive rebound opportunities for themselves.
They got 16 offensive rebounds. I agree with you. Well, let me lead you into this now. Why don't you tell us the player of your round?
Player of the round for me is Chris Goulding. That second quarter, he just stood out as the outstanding Australian in our league.
Yeah.
You know, couple of the shots he made, like I showed you the shot he made a few weeks ago, because I ran it on my website when he hit this monster three that beat Southeast Melbourne, or that really broke Southeast Melbourne's back.
What about that pass last week as well?
The guy is playing the best basketball of his life.
Well, let me ask you this. Hang on, I'm going to come straight to you. There's a lot of talk MVP. They're talking Bryce Cotton doing all of this. Who's your MVP?
Right now, probably Milton Doyle. I think Chris Goulding is definitely in the conversation and higher.
He's got to be.
So is Mitch Creek.
He's the best player in the best team.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, he's only about one thing, winning.
Yeah.
Right? If you've got 6 of 8 three-pointers at halftime, you don't just take one in the second half, do you?
Yeah.
Right. But he did, because he was now almost a decoy. Now you got Ian Clark hitting shots. It was fantastic to watch. Watching Brisbane's disintegration disappointed me, but also what disappointed me is Justin Schuler's got a young fellow there called Rocco Zakarski. When you're getting flogged by 30, put the kid on. Put the kid, don't put Aaron Baines on. We don't want to see Aaron. Aaron's
done. He only played 4 minutes. I was surprised that.
That's rubbish.
I didn't get to watch a lot of it because I was at Kudos getting prepared for the Kings game. All right. Well, my player of the round, just because you went
with Chris,
I'm going to go Mitch Creek. I thought he was from the second I saw him on Sunday getting prepared for that game, he just impressed me so much. You could see, right, I need to go to work today. I'm down on numbers. There's been some crap going on. I'm focused. I'm in. So he gets
laser
my focus. Around.
Absolutely. Laser
right, give me your best moment of the round.
I think it was him hitting those five threes, Chris Goulding hitting those five threes in the second quarter.
Good call.
Because he busted open the game doing that. And a couple of those, he did have a lot of defensive pressure on him, and it just made no difference. Made no difference whatsoever. Mm. So that was my moment, if I'm that period. What about yours? What'd you have?
Oh, look, I'm splitting it. One, I'm going with Dave O'Hickey for Wollongong hitting a three at the end of the first quarter on the buzzer. That was fantastic.
That was so good, wasn't it?
Right.
So
and the place just erupted. And what even lifted them more, and that's my second one, and that's why I say I can't split it, is AJ Johnson's dunk. Little crossover, couple of steps, and boom, down the middle and just rises above everyone. Mate, I'm telling
audacity.
You. I've stood next to this guy. He looks 11, right? He has got such a baby face, AJ Johnson. But, man, he is an assassin, and I just love what he bought the other night. So, all right, now I'm going to move
quickly,
on.
Quickly.
Yeah,
I also thought Jack McVay's three at the end of the first quarter against New Zealand, which is a running. From centre.
Nah, he's awesome. I'm a big fan.
They were down 23-24. He puts them up 26-24. Goodbye. Ta-da, New Zealand. They're done.
Give me
a
nudge, nasty.
My nudge, nasty is how can you have a game in an NBL game? How can you have a league claiming to be the second best league in the world and you can't get any kind of shot clock operation after halftime in Cairns when they're playing Sydney? Both teams have to agree, okay, we're going to go without a shot clock. What's wrong with it being timed on the sideline? We've been doing that since 1979 when shot clocks blew out. Someone would just on the mic would just say 10 seconds, nine.
I've got to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with it. I know we're going to disagree here because that's because what
Sydney
I want to do.
Yeah, because Sydney won and they had 40-second offenses. Yeah, of course you love it. Yeah,
but I was like, both coaches agreed to it. I didn't love the extra 24-second. I didn't love that, how they took a little bit longer. But nah, both coaches are fine with it.
Both coaches are fine with it because they had no option and they wanted to play the game. But yeah, I don't understand how you can't just say, all right, watch the game clock. And then when you get, you know, the game clock's going to show you 24 seconds. When it gets to that point, start counting down so that they know. I just think it was amateur hour and second best league in the world. Give me a break.
You've heard it here. All right. Look, my Rosen Rattler, while you calm down and attend to stab someone. My Rosen Rattler goes to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix to come into Sydney.
You're such a nice bloke.
Yeah, thank you. You're not. Yeah.
You know, you said cricket bat four times in this particular episode, just saying.
Well, that's because it was great. You remember someone had a go at me saying that?
Yeah, you called John really a great coach. No offence, but I don't think the runs are on the board yet. But go. But, you know, we were talking cricket bats, runs on the board.
How many times are you going to say runs on the board, by the way? Like,
Once. That's once.
What did you say?
I don't know. Don't try to make me say it again.
Okay, my Rosen Rattler goes to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Congratulations to come up in Sydney against all odds, the coming situation, losing, you know, a very good player in Moller, and then to lose, you know, a good player in Ruben Tarangi with having a baby. And again, congratulations. Outstanding. The focus that I saw on Mitch Creek and Sauce Williams was second to none. Fantastic win. Mike Kelly, well done. He coached his butt off that game with the way he juggled minutes, juggled foul trouble, created positiveness in the zone to get the ball in the middle. Like, just he was a game coach on Sunday, and well done to him.
Good night.
That is it, everyone. Thank you so much to all our listeners. We love it. Please feel free to send your emails in and messages how much you don't like Boddy having a go at me, because I agree. But outside of that, have Sydney. A fantastic
week. Everybody
week.
Outside of Sydney, feel free to do the opposite. God almighty. All right.
Oh, I love off. Him.
We've gone, God, gone too long. You're
see
still
you next
rabbiting
week.
On.
There, see you next
we've
week.
Got a guest next week, perhaps. See ya.
Boddy, I want to hear you just talk about the way you and I speak to other and give me the Mitch McCarron spray.
I can't take anything that seriously. But you know what? Stop your effing snitching. Stop your effing throwing people under the bus and let's get the 24-second shot clock working.
Mate, we take trams, no buses.